whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. There was a young man who was traveling in England, I believe for the first time. Young man going from place to place, taking pictures. He came around a bend in this country road, and he saw a large group of people gathered around a tree, a large tree. So he's wondering, what are all these people doing gathered around this tree? So he makes his way up, and he comes to the edge of the crowd, and there's a man standing there. And so he asks the man, why are all these people here? What's the attraction? And the man said, this tree marks the center of England. It's in the very center spot of our country. And there's a plaque in there that says so. So the young man went his way in through the people, and he came to the trunk of the tree, and there was indeed a plaque, a little iron gate around the tree. And the plaque said exactly what the man told him. It marked the center of England. Well, he was thinking to himself, and then a smile came upon his face. The young man was a Christian. He knew the Lord as his Savior. He makes his way back to the man, and he says to him, you know, that tree is an interesting tree, but it reminds me of another tree, very interesting tree. And the man said, oh, is that right? And the young man speaking up a little bit, he wants others to hear him, and he says, the tree that I'm thinking of marks the center of the world. Well, he caught people's ears with that comment. And the man said, center of the world? Well, how so is this tree? Well, he said, all the people on one side of this tree are saved and on the way to heaven. And all the people on the other side of the tree are lost and on the road to hell. Well, he said that, some of the people, some snickered, you know, and some made a sneer at the young man, laughed and walked away. But many stayed. And he went on to say, the tree that I'm speaking of was spoken of by the Apostle Peter. The Lord Jesus Christ hanging on this tree and bearing in his own body the sins of the whole world. And he went on to say, I'm so glad to be able to say that I'm on the side of those people who are saved and on the way to heaven. And I'm thankful that I can stand here tonight and say this very same thing, that I am on the side of the cross of Calvary of those who have trusted him as Savior. And indeed, the young man was right. It is the cross, Christ himself, who separates the world into two groups, those who know him as Savior, born again into God's family, and those who are not. So we trust perhaps tonight, if there's someone here in a little company and you've never come to know Christ as your Savior, not able to say, I know I'm going to heaven, but I think I'm going, or I hope I'm going, we trust tonight you might be able to say, I know I'm going to heaven because Christ is my Savior. Now, as you probably noticed, we read tonight about some trees. We're going to look at four different men, four different trees, and four different positions. First one is Adam, and he is a scared man behind a tree. I heard thy voice in the garden, he said, and I was afraid. And he hid himself behind a tree. He's a scared man behind a tree. Now, he was afraid when he heard God's voice because he knew he had sinned. If you're sitting in your home and a police car pulls up and you see the policeman getting out and coming to knock on your door, you might wonder what he wants and hope nothing wrong, but there wouldn't be any fear of that policeman. But if you happened to have broken into a store or something and you had robbed that store the day before, and you're sitting in your home, and a police car drives up, and a policeman gets out of the car and walks to your door. That's a different story, isn't it? You're afraid. And that's the situation with Adam. He was afraid now of God. He wasn't afraid before. He enjoyed blessed fellowship with God, walking with God in the cool of the day. But now, it's a different matter. He had sinned. And he was afraid. Well, to be afraid of God is natural and logical, because God is a holy God. God is a sin-hating God, and we are sinners. In Habakkuk 1:13 we read, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is also wise to understand that God is to be feared. In Proverbs 9 and 10 it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." The very beginning of one becoming truly wise is to understand that I myself, I have sinned against a holy God. And as I stand before him today, I stand in my sins, not acceptable to God. If that strikes fear in one's heart, that is good. Now God does not want us to try and hide from him. And besides that, we can't hide from God. Hebrews 4:13 it says, "All things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." God knows everything. There was a few years ago, I happened to overhear a song in the radio. Some lady was singing this song, and she was singing, "No one knows what goes on behind closed doors." I thought to myself, the young lady is not correct in that statement, because God knows what goes on behind closed doors. There is nothing hid from God. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. We can't hide from God. We might put on a good front for everybody and appear to live a wholesome life, but if I have never accepted Christ as my Savior, I am a sinner. All things I've done, all things I've said, all things I have thought contrary to the will of God, God knows them all, and they're recorded, and God is a good bookkeeper. He doesn't want us to be afraid to come to him. The Lord Jesus Christ, on the contrary, in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, come to me, and I'll forgive you. If you have a burden of sin, I will give you rest." When Adam came to God, God gave him a proper covering, a covering that was acceptable to God. And God does the same thing for all who come to him today. Coming to him for forgiveness. So often people come when they're in trouble. Things go wrong in life, or I want something, and they come to God for help. God wants us to come to him initially for forgiveness of my sins. Not to be afraid. God has good in mind for you. If you've never come to him, he invites you to come, even tonight, and believe on him and receive him as your Savior, and he will forgive you. It's sad to see people afraid to come to God. They have some wrong concept of God. God is indeed, as the sign proclaims on the building, God is a God of love. God is love. He loves sinners. He so loved, he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross. He could not express his love for us in any greater fashion than to give his only begotten Son. And all I have to do to enter in to the good of God's salvation and find acceptance with God, forgiveness of my sins, is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to respond to the invitation and say, "Yes, Lord, I come as a sinner, as I am. I confess to you what I am. I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful woman. And I know My only hope of heaven is you, Lord Jesus, and I now believe in you. I claim your promise, and I accept you as my Savior from sin. There is a terrible end for those who remain scared, afraid to come to God. There is a list, not a very nice list, in Revelation 21 and 8. In this list, abominable murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But you know who heads the list but the fearful and the unbelieving? People afraid to come to God. Oh, don't be afraid to come to God. God loves you. He knows all about you. And He will forgive every sin. And He will change you from the inside out. And you'll become a brand new person. And you'll know what it means to have power over sin and Satan. And to know joy and peace. That is the first man, the scared man behind a tree. The second man I'd like to consider for a few moments, he is a sad man under a tree. And that is Elijah. He sat down under a juniper tree and he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life." Excuse me. Here we have a sad man under a juniper tree. And there are many, many people in this world who are like Elijah. They are sad people and they have a juniper tree in their life. People who come to the point even of Elijah. Right here in the country of the United States, 20,000 people, I believe these statistics are now up, take their own life. That is 60 a day. So when the 16th of September has come to a close, 60-some people will have successfully taken their own life by their own hand in your country. And it goes all over the world. 500,000 a year in the world. 1,000 people plus per day. And amongst college students in the United States, it is the number one killer of college students. Taking their own life. Sitting down under a juniper tree. Oh God, I want to die. There's a poem, very short. I sit alone, no one to talk to, no one to share my problems, no one to care. I'm lost, I don't know where I'm going, headed for destruction, my world will soon fall apart. Loneliness is my companion, my only friend. No light at the end of my tunnel, only dead ends. My grave is for one, I cannot escape loneliness. Now you might think, perhaps some older person wrote that at the end of a disillusioned life, but that poem was written by an 18-year-old high school student, very pretty and very popular, and that dear lady has a juniper tree in her life which she sits down under, and she is a sad individual. So many. And of course they don't let you know. How are you today? They put a smile on. Oh, I'm fine, thank you. Oh, and so many have a juniper tree in their life and they're sad. Seeing psychiatrists for help, taking pills, trying to overcome sadness in their life. And on it goes. I know there was a circus in Chicago, the plane. In this circus, there was a very famous clown, world famous, trained other clowns, name is Grimaldi. This man named Grimaldi was very successful, had a natural talent for making people laugh, you know. And so they were in Chicago, and he's there performing. On the other side of Chicago is a psychiatrist's office. And at the time the circus is on, a young man goes in there and sits down to see the psychiatrist at an appointment. And he sits down in the man's office and begins to talk. And he tells the psychiatrist that he's successful in life, and he has money, and he has a big home and car and all these things, but he is sad. Can you help me? And the psychiatrist, after proper talking to him, said, I don't think you have a great problem. Try this first. Why don't you just go out, try and forget everything and have a good laugh. You know, find something to make you laugh. And then the doctor said, I want to suggest something to you. It might sound a little strange, but the other night my wife and I took our children over to the circus, and there was a clown over there by the name of Grimaldi, and I guarantee you, you go and he'll make you laugh and you'll forget about all your troubles, and I think it'll be good medicine for you. And the man said, Doctor, I am Grimaldi, the makeup god. So many people are like Grimaldi. They have a smile on the outside, and you never know. They have a juniper tree in their life. I know of a very dear lady, very close to me in St. John, New Brunswick, who has hardened her heart and won't receive the truth of the gospel. Seeing doctors, going in the psychiatric ward of the main hospital there in St. John, recently in for 5 weeks, taking shock treatments every day, trying to bring herself out of depression. My brother gave her a book, I think it was written by Mr. LaHaye, on depression. If he had asked me, I would have told him, you wasted your time giving her the book. Because I was right. She called him on the telephone. And she said, I started to read your book, and I got to the second page, and it's got that stuff in it. I don't want it. Talking about Jesus and salvation. The book goes back. And she carries on. Sitting down day after day under a juniper tree. Oh, that's the stuff that she needs. It's the gospel in there. The Lord Jesus. You wonder why Christians are a happy people? It's because we have a blessed Savior. The sadness is turned into gladness when we turn on to the Lord. He takes the sadness in one's life and He converts it into gladness in the soul. In Proverbs 16 and 20, we read, whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Psalm 2 and 12, blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. And the word blessed means to be envied. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. And the Lord Jesus said in John 16, your sorrow shall be turned into joy, and your joy no man taketh from you. No one touches the joy of God's people, because it's inside. The Lord Jesus gives the joy, and no one is able to take it away. Same thing with the peace of God. Oh, if all these sad people in the world would only turn to Christ, then the sadness is turned into gladness, and the juniper tree is removed out of their life. If there's someone here tonight, and perhaps there is in your life, that very thing, I want you to know, the Lord Jesus Christ knows about that. He knows about your heavy heart. And He means what He says. He will turn your sadness into gladness if you'll turn to Him as a sinner. That's the only way to come to Him, you know. We can't get saved until I realize I'm lost to God. That's the beginning of getting in on God's salvation. The door to heaven has a name, sinners only. That's who it's for. He came to call sinners to repentance. And oh, if you will see yourself tonight as God says you are,
as we all are, all have sinned. Come to Him for forgiveness. Oh, He'll forgive you, cleanse you, and take that sadness away. And as He promised, your sorrow shall be turned into joy, and your joy no man taketh from you. That is the sad man under a tree. And the next man is Zacchaeus, and he is a seeking man, and he's not behind a tree, and he's not under a tree. He is up a tree, a seeking man up a tree. He was a man who sought in earnest to find God. He exemplifies the truth that money cannot buy you happiness. It can't buy you things. Can't buy what we're talking about tonight. The joy of God. He was chief among the publicans. Not only did he have a large sum of money from his own collecting, but now he's chief. I imagine he must have had other publicans under him. And so he got a little bit from all those. So he's a rich man. It tells us that. But he's not happy. He's not content. And somehow he heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he understands he's coming through Jericho. And he wants to see him, but he's a little wee man. Says he's a little stature, and he cannot see up above all the people. Does it stop him? That's all right. I am going to see Jesus today. Nobody is going to stop me. Not only does he get in front of all those people in his way, but he comes to a sycamore tree and he climbs up into the sycamore tree. A rich, prominent man in the community. He's running. He ran to this tree, climbs up into it that he might see the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a seeking man and he is in earnest. He wants to see the Lord Jesus. He wants him as his own. And of course, he found him. He sought him with the whole heart. And God makes a promise in Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Salvation is no half-hearted business. People who get saved are people who want to know God. And they don't care what anybody is going to think about them. He didn't care. You can laugh at me all you want to. I don't care. I want to get to Christ. And he did. And dear friend, that's the only way you're going to get saved. You must want God's salvation to be able to say, I am saved. I don't think I'm going to heaven. I don't hope I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven because Christ is my Savior. I received Him as mine and He received me. That is being saved. You want it, friend. If you want it, it's for you. God wants you to come and believe on Him. He is seeking to save you. Mr. T. Ernest Wilson was having meetings outdoor when he was in Angola. And as I understand it, there was tall grass nearby. He's outside. And he's speaking to many people. And he sees movement in the grass. And he's thinking to himself, it possibly might be a lion. There's a rifle there, because I guess they were common. And so he's speaking to the people, but he's keeping his eye on the grass, because something's moving through, coming closer. It comes finally to the very edge, and he's ready to reach down. But as it breaks through, he sees it isn't a lion. It was a man who had no feet, crawling on his hands and knees, to hear Mr. Wilson proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. A few weeks later, Mr. Wilson is 26 miles away in a village to preach the gospel there. And one morning he looks down the main street and can't believe his eyes. The same man crawling hands and knees down the street 26 miles. On his hands and knees. He wanted God's salvation. He wanted what Mr. Wilson was talking about. And needless to say, he got it. The man got Christ. He was seeking with the whole heart, and so was Zacchaeus, and that's why he found Christ. And dear friend, you'll find him too when you seek him with the whole heart. When you want him more than anything else, when you realize your lost condition. Now, I don't care about what my family's going to think, what my wife's going to think, what my husband's going to think, what anybody thinks. I don't care. I want God's salvation. I don't want to go to hell. I want to be saved. I want the confidence, the assurance of heaven. And I want that joy in my life. Dear friend, that's when you'll get it. You can have it tonight. The door to heaven is open wide. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. The Lord Jesus says, I will give you rest. That is a seeking man up a tree. And the last man, excuse me, he's a suffering man on a tree. That's the Lord Jesus. Jesus whom he slew, hanged on a tree. That's what we did with God's Son. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And we said, away with him. Crucify him. And we did. The suffering man on a tree. And he was there for us in his own body. We read 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins. Whose sins? My sins. Your sins. The sins of the whole world. He bare our sins in his own body on the tree. He suffered the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. There's no other way, friend, to heaven outside of the sacrifice of Christ. There's no other way. It isn't a question of how I might live my life. I must be born again. And the very beginning of being born again is to understand where I stand before God, and that Christ Jesus died on that cross for me. And friend, he did. He died for your sins. The Word of God is a solid foundation, and the Bible declares, whosoever believeth in him hath everlasting life. John chapter 3, verse 36. You can have it tonight. Oh, look to the suffering man on the tree, dying for you, for your sins. He was there for you, as though you were the only one. On that cross, he knew you. And he knew you'd be sitting here tonight in this room. There was no accident when one hears the gospel. No accident at all. The Lord Jesus says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Door of your heart. Could any man hear my voice and open the door? I will come in. Well, he's knocking tonight. He knocks in gospel meetings. And he often works in a gospel series. Souls are saved. You can be saved tonight. If you look to that one by faith on the center cross, the suffering man on the tree, the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a lady born in the year 1812. Her name was Amelia Hall. And she was born of a very noble family, Captain Thomas Hall. And they lived at Marpool Hall, on the outskirts of Exmouth in England, in a mansion. She's 20 years old, and a man comes to the area, and he puts up a tent, a gospel tent, and he goes around inviting people to come hear the gospel. Amelia one night decides to go and hear what's being preached, and so she does. And she sits at the back of the meeting, and she listens to this man preaching the gospel. She never heard the gospel before, if I understand it. So she went home. She liked what she heard. Left a good taste in her mouth, so to speak. And so she goes to her father. And she said, Father, tonight I heard something wonderful. heard the gospel tonight. He said, daughter, what do you mean, heard the gospel tonight? He's talking about, oh, I went down to the tent meeting. I heard the gospel. He's very, very upset. You went to the tent meeting. That is no place for a hall. We are a noble family. And we don't go into those places of tents and listen to those ranters and ravers going on about the Bible. And I forbid you to go back again, Amelia. This is the end of it. They parted. But Amelia, oh, she wanted to hear it again. She'd never heard anything so lovely in her life. God's salvation. But wondering where I'm going. Oh, but to know where I'm going and to know God. Have a real relationship with Him. And so she went back that night. And the man is preaching from John chapter 3. Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that as many as would believe on Him would have eternal life. And she's sitting there hearing this message, and oh, it speaks to her heart. And she says within, Lord Jesus, I will look to You. I will look now to You on the cross, now in heaven, and I believe on You. And the lady was saved. Now she goes home. Man, she's frightened. She's joyous in her newfound Savior, but she's frightened of her father. And so she approaches Him, not going to wait till the morning. Get it over with now. Father, I have to tell You, not only, Father, did I go to the tent meeting tonight, but, Father, I have received Christ as my Savior, and now I belong to Him. Well, He's so angry, He's shaking with rage. No, You're not. He said, You're not. You're not a Christian. Father, I am. I say, You're not. And I'll whip it out of You in the morning. Come to my study at 9 o'clock. Off with You. She went to her room. She's a frightened girl. But she's a joyful girl, like I already said. The Lord Jesus said, no man takes her joy from you. Not even her father could take it away. And she sits down. She only saved a few hours. She takes a pencil and a piece of paper, and she sits down and she writes a poem before she goes to bed. The morning came quickly. 9 o'clock, and her father is standing there in a study waiting for her in the library with a riding crop beside him on the desk to give his daughter that whipping. He meant business. Shaming the family. She came in and said, Father, before you begin, before you say anything, Father, please read what I've written last night. I wrote last night. I'm going to read 2 verses of it. This is what the 20-year-old girl wrote, save for a few hours. And this is what he read. There is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto Him and be saved unto Him who was nailed to the tree. Oh, why was He there as the bearer of sin, if on Jesus thy guilt was not laid? Oh, why from His side flowed the sin-cleansing blood, if His dying thy debt has not paid? Then doubt not thy welcome, since God has declared there remaineth no more to be done. That once in the end of the world He appeared and completed the work He began. When He finished, He laid the paper down, and then Captain Hall put his face into his hands, and he sat there and he wept like a baby. And he said, Amelia, I will look. I now look to Him as well. And the man was saved standing in his library. And not only that, his wife became a Christian. His family became a Christian, all Christians. And a little local testimony was started there in that place. And it all began with a look to the crucified one.
Oh, will you look tonight, dear friend? Look to Him tonight by faith. He's waiting for you. A welcome awaits you. John 6:37, He says, Him or her that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That is a promise you can claim. Come to Him tonight. He'll never cast you out of His family. Shall we pray? Our gracious God and Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we draw near to Thee and we thank Thee for salvation through faith in Thy Son. We thank Thee for the simple plan of salvation, Father. And we thank Thee it's for whosoever will. We just pray for any in our company tonight who perhaps has never come to know Thee as Father through knowing Thy Son as Savior. We just pray, though, O God, by Thy Holy Spirit, Thou might speak to them in a mighty way. We know that salvation is of the Lord. And all we can do, Father, is proclaim the truth. And it is Thy Spirit that convicts of sin and opens the eyes of the hearers. So, Father, we ask Thy blessing upon each one, perhaps, who may not know Christ as Savior. These things we ask and give thanks for Him in His precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it's good to see you all tonight. And again, as my brother mentioned, God willing, each night for this week at 7:30, we plan in God's will to proclaim the gospel. You might come back again and hear the good news from the far country.